Welcome to episode 1453 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We are in the midst of a series on the life and times of the apostles. Our focus this week is on the Apostle Peter. In our last episode, the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost, transforming fearful disciples into bold witnesses and launching the church into the world. Today we follow Peter as God stretches his understanding of the gospel in a way he never expected, revealing that the good news of Jesus Christ was never intended for one people alone, but for every nation, every tribe, and every person willing to receive it. Acts of the Apostles, Part 1, Chapter 13. The door opens wider.
I need to tell you about a sheet. Not a metaphor, an actual sheet, or something like one, let down from heaven by its four corners, filled with every kind of animal, four-footed creatures, reptiles, birds, clean and unclean together, the permitted and the forbidden side by side with no separation between them. A voice said, loudly and clearly,
"Get up, Peter, kill and eat."
I said no, three times. I had never eaten anything impure or unclean, and I was not about to begin on a rooftop in Joppa because a vision told me to. The voice said,
"Do not call anything impure that God has made clean."
Three times the sheet came down. Three times I refused. Three times the voice corrected me. Then the sheet was taken back into heaven, and I was left on the rooftop wondering what had just happened. I was about to find out. While I was still on the roof, the Spirit spoke to me directly. Three men were at the gate. I was to go with them without hesitation. God had sent them. The men were from Caesarea Maritima, the Roman administrative capital on the coast, sent by a man named Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a Gentile. He was also, they told me, a devout and God-fearing man, who gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. The previous day an angel had appeared to him and told him to send for Simon called Peter, staying in Joppa at the house of Simon the Tanner. The angel had given him the address. I want you to feel the strangeness of this. A Roman soldier whose empire had crucified my Lord, whose occupation had been the backdrop of every injustice I had known growing up in Galilee, was having angelic visions and praying to the God of Israel and sending men 60 miles to find me. And God was simultaneously giving me a vision about clean and unclean things, preparing me to receive men I would not ordinarily have welcomed through the door. When God wants to move you somewhere you would not go on your own, he tends to arrange things from both ends simultaneously. I went with the men. When I arrived, Cornelius had already gathered his family and close friends. The house was full. He fell at my feet, which I found alarming, and told him immediately to stop. "Stand up. I am only a man myself." I looked around the room. Romans, all of them. People I would not, under normal circumstances, have entered a house with or shared a meal with. I said so plainly. I have always found it better to name the awkward thing than pretend it is not there. "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile," But God has shown me that I should not call any person impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius told me about his vision, the angel, the instruction, the address in Joppa. And then he said something that moved something in my chest.
Now we are all here in the presence of God Almighty to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.
Now we are all here in the presence of God Almighty. A Roman soldier in his own house using that phrase, as if the presence were already there, had been there before I arrived and would remain when I left. And I understood in that moment what the sheet had been about. It had never been about food. I opened my mouth and said the truest thing I knew. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Every nation said to a room full of Romans, and I meant it. It had taken a vision and a 60-mile journey and an angel and the Spirit on a rooftop to get me there, but I was there and I meant it. I told them about Jesus, what he did, what they did to him, what God did in response. I told them I was a witness. I had eaten and drunk with him after he rose. And then, while I was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them. The Jewish believers who had come with me were astonished, not at the belief, at the Spirit. The gift poured out on Gentiles, on people who had entered through none of the doors we considered the doors. They were speaking in tongues and praising God. The same sounds as the upper room in a centurion's house in Caesarea. Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. They were baptized, all of them. Cornelius asked me to stay for several days, and I did, eating at a Gentile table in a Gentile home, while the world I thought I understood kept expanding past every boundary I had drawn. When I returned to Jerusalem, the believers there confronted me. You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. Not a small accusation. A challenge to everything the community understood about its own edges. I told them the whole story. When they heard it, they fell silent. And then they praised God and said, "So then, even to Gentiles God has granted repentance that leads to life. Even to Gentiles. Even to people who came through none of the doors we assumed were required. Even to a Roman centurion who prayed to the God of Israel in a language no synagogue had taught him. I grew up in Galilee of the Gentiles, my whole childhood on the margins of what was considered properly Jewish. And God used that man, the fisherman from the mixed territory, the Am Haaretz from the borderlands, to open the door to the nations. I do not think that was an accident. The door was always meant to be wider than we had drawn it. We were the ones who built the wall. God simply sent a sheet and a centurion to help me see the wall for what it was."
One of the hardest things God asks us to surrender is not our sin, but our assumptions. Peter loved God, followed Jesus, and was filled with the Holy Spirit, yet he still carried boundaries that God never intended to remain. Sometimes the walls we build feel spiritual, reasonable, or even biblical, but God continually reminds us that his grace is larger than our categories. The story of Cornelius challenges us to ask where we may be limiting the reach of God's love. Who have we assumed is too far away, too different, too unlikely, or too undeserving? The gospel has a way of crossing every human boundary. The same God who sent Peter to Cornelius still sends his people beyond their comfort zones, inviting us to discover that his kingdom is wider, his mercy deeper, and his welcome more expansive than we ever imagined. To be continued.